Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And we have a lot to talk about. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about from now until November, but it's we certainly have a lot of political news. There was a convention, day two of the Democratic National Convention. We'll talk about that and much, much more. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. First and foremost, we welcome WAMC's Alan Shartok to the program. Good morning, sir.
I don't agree with you. I am not foremost. I'm here.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Rosemary and Libby. I'm sure Libby's nodding also.
But
also,
I knew that you wanted to address the crowd.
Yeah.
So I was first and foremost.
Oh, you mean because I'm first, therefore
yes.
I'm foremost.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, anyway, somebody really made my day, and I just want to announce it. I got a copy of some, you know, the license plate holders that car dealerships give out, and they say, you know, what Haddad Motors, and then about.
Well, or, so, my kid goes to Syracuse.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
We had one that we gave away for years here that said, I'm not laughing at you, I'm listening to Car Talk on WAMC.
Right. Well, somebody said, somebody sent me a picture, and it was of a Toyota, and on the back, and on the back,
what color Toyota?
A blue.
Oh, okay.
And on the back, and it was from, Stage. You don't want to say it?
No, I think you're just going to give the phone number to the person.
Well, okay. So anyway.
Not that we're tracking them down.
It says, okay, here's what it says. Alan Shartok on the top. And it says on the bottom, after the license number, shut up and stay home.
Oh, now, that's
now,
rude. That's
you
not
think
nice.
It's, no, on the contrary.
I want one.
I think it's the ultimate.
Rosemary.
It's the ultimate compliment, if you think about it, because it means you counted for something. You're here, you're not here. But while you were here, somebody got a license plate and had it done. It seems to me it's important enough. Also, I have a question for all of you. Say, Alan Shartok, shut up and stay home. The question is whether you should stay home to listen to Alan Shartok. That's the thing that I don't get. You know what I mean?
I think if it makes you feel better, you could take it that way.
Yeah, right. At least they spelled your name right.
Right. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, now over to you. Now you can introduce somebody who is not foremost.
Or half a most.
Good morning, Rosemary Armeo. She's head of the journalism department at the University at Albany. I'm trying to wing it without my script, and I apologize.
The
program. No, I have
yes.
it right here.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't.
Yeah.
I thought that by now I would know it by heart, yeah. But I don't.
Well, she's professor.
Yes.
She's head of the journalism program. Of that journalism program.
This week
Some
I'm
would
a
say
grandmother.
Foremost.
This week I'm a grandmother.
Grandma.
My granddaughter Jem is here. I'm exhausted today because I was watching Bill Clinton and Meryl Streep on TV on one hand and playing Shopkins. Someone's got to explain the appeal of those things to me. My granddaughter's obsessed with them.
A lot of kids are.
Yeah, yeah, and making Play-Doh gowns for Disney princesses.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
That's really great.
But it was very cool because
I would love to see you make gowns.
Mine are very good. I make great capes. And my granddaughter was alive when Hillary Clinton said, and to you little girls who stayed up late.
She was awake, not alive. She was awake.
She was awake. I may be elected the first woman president, but you will be next. And I was like, Gemma, she's talking to you.
And did she say, okay, Grandma,
no,
I'd like to go to sleep
Ro-Ro.
Now.
She calls you Ro-Ro.
She
I
does.
Like Ro-Ro. That's a good
Can
one.
We call you Ro-Ro?
No, no you may not.
She doesn't Ro-Ro, you're both.
All right. Libby Post is with us. She is the...
I'm not sure.
She's a political...
What'd you say?
Third most foremost. Political consultant to the stars. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
How are you? Very
I'm
nice to have you with us.
Terrific. Thank you.
All right. So the Democratic National Convention took place the second night, last night in Philadelphia, and the big speech last night was Bill Clinton. And he spoke about his wife. He spoke about the accomplishments. He spoke about about their meeting, how they fell in love and their partnership, both political and personal, over, I think, a 40-minute speech last night. What did the crew think?
I thought it was great. I thought that it humanized both of them, but it really humanized Hillary. It talked about all the things that she has done that people didn't necessarily know or recognize. And a friend of mine who's got teenagers wrote on Facebook, and these were teenagers who were really pro-Bernie, as many teenagers mm-hmm. were, wow, we didn't know she did all of that.
Yes, they don't.
And that really, you know, sets the stage for her to be able to tell the story of everything that she's done for children and people with disabilities and all the folks that are being marginalized by the GOP. And I just thought it was a great speech. And, you know, it also showed, despite all of their source with their marriage, all of their stuff that's gone on in their marriage, which is their business, they truly do love each other. And at least that was the message. And he truly does love her, because it would have been hard for him to get up there without having some real feeling to make that kind of speech.
Remember
and do
Al
it
Gore
so
and the
well.
Kiss?
Yeah, well, that was a little weird.
That didn't last.
No, that didn't last. But
so you
but
last.
They have
lasted.
But they have lasted.
For decades.
But so they have lasted. So and they've lasted, fair. But they have lasted through infidelity. They have lasted through infidelity splashed across the tabloids. Right. So
I agree with you, but just for the sake of argumentation,
yes.
you know, of argumentation, we don't really know. Right?
We
there
don't.
Are reports of
and
his
it's not our,
entertainments and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's and honestly, it's not our business.
But the speech was highlighting her successes
right.
Throughout her professional life and personal life as a mother and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And from presumably, whatever the nature of the relationship, from someone who knows her very well. And that was, I believe, supposed to be the takeaway. And I think in most cases, that was the takeaway.
I think it also fit in. I'm a Bill Clinton, you know, groupie. I'd vote for him again if he were on the ticket.
Man, that and dude can speak.
Yes.
He's a wonderful orator. And, I mean, you can say, oh, he only gave the speech because he had to get her elected. They're supremely ambitious, all the things that are laid at the Clintons. But it was warm and funny. And it tied in with speeches that you saw throughout the night. I was most affected by two things I didn't even want to hear at all. One were the 9/11 survivors who told a story of Hillary Clinton staying in touch with them
right.
for years. That burn victim was amazing.
Yep.
And then the mothers of the victims of police brutality. I was expecting another like the mothers who Trump put on, who were raggedly grieving and angry and upset and said, you know, Hillary Clinton killed my son. I was expecting that. And we didn't get it. They were moving and dignified and hopeful when their children had been killed. And Bill Clinton tied into that. It all went together last night. It was a convention that worked.
It's been an incredibly well-orchestrated event.
Yeah.
It's been very well-produced.
Very.
No question about it. Alan?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I saw the congresswomen under Nancy Pelosi, you know, early in the evening.
Yeah.
I thought it was weak, tell you the truth. Each of them had a little scripted speech to give. One of them actually was talking about how Hillary Clinton, they were answering, obviously, some of the accusations. And one of them got up there and said, you know, Hillary Clinton never responds to money. Well, you know.
She likes to have money. She worries about
well,
being
you know.
I'm not sure that's really true.
As
but
Aunt
that
Ruth
was early
say,
in the evening.
As
know?
Aunt Ruth would say, well, you know.
Well, you know. And we're also leaving out the moment when Vermont cast all its votes proudly for Bernie, and he stood up and by said, okay, by acclamation, let's make this official.
Yeah.
That was
right.
very great, too.
Right thing to do.
That was a topic of conversation in my house, is whether or not it was really by acclamation. Because the quote in the Times did not have him say by acclamation.
Mm.
And so it was like, did he or didn't he? Or did he just say, let's just do this and put her
over
the top?
That's parsing words. Come on. It was a moment that
from
he got under, his... I'm sorry.
Well, the two campaigns sat down for a long time yesterday to hash out how that was going to work for both the optics and the language. So whatever what happened on the floor had been gone over by both parties for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he delivered what he was supposed to deliver. So... I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. He delivered what he's supposed to deliver, and just like she did. Although in 2008, she stopped the vote tally in the
middle.
She
felt sincerely about it. Bernie's been pushed to him. We all know that. But it's still, I thought it worked.
Well, I don't know if you saw Seth Meyers segment.
I did.
You know, well, he hates her, but, you know, he hates Trump more. So, and I don't know if
sort
he really hates her.
Sort of like Paul Ryan, you know, supporting Trump.
I don't know if he hates her. I don't know if it's that kind of vitriol. I think it's disappointment.
Yeah, big disappointment. Yeah,
big disappointment. And I get that. But, you know, he knew that this was an uphill battle right from the start.
I would just like to see Hillary vote. I don't care if people are holding their nose when they vote for her. I don't care if it's like they're...
They just need to vote.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about this, tell you the truth. And it's a dangerous place to go. But it is clear that Hillary's people know that she has to get every Black and Latino vote that she possibly can. Whereas Trump, we know where he's going. He's going to the white middle class demographic. And this is going to be a turnout election. It's going to be motivated by turnout, by who shows up. But I also don't like the fact that it's going into this sort of racial one side versus
the other. It's a class warfare kind of thing.
I hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
And it really bothers me.
Well, it's how elections are won. It's about turning out your base and going after the undecideds. And, you know, I think she put Tim Kaine there to reach out to the white male vote.
Yeah.
And I think he will do that. And I think Joe Biden will get out there and do that as well, because he did it for Obama. I don't know if it's going to be so clearly a long race. I think it's going to be more along class and disaffection.
Yes, except, Libby, when Trump gets up there and yells, "I'm a law and order guy, law and order, law and order, law and order."
That's his point.
He's creating
a long race. He's the one.
Well, that's
right. He's playing the race card throughout this entire election.
That's right. And what's interesting is how important this seems to be to some constituency, because those numbers on Trump, no matter what stupid thing he says or how dangerous anything he says, those numbers don't change.
I agree. That is frightening. I like Cecile Richards, who got up and said to Trump, "Women are going to be the reason you lose, because women do vote."
Yes.
And he is not doing anything to make me happy except putting his daughter up to lie.
And patting her butt. And seniors also.
That was so gross.
Seniors too, as well.
Yeah.
And the we cannot discount the LGBT community here.
Yeah, they're a pretty,
we got Bill Clinton elected in 92, and we could very well be the linchpin here as well.
The other thing I want to talk about, because we mentioned it yesterday, and just as follow up, but we asked the question about how resounding and how long lasting the pro Bernie, anti Hillary sentiment would be on the convention floor. It seemed to be all but erased last night, didn't it? It was present on Monday night was certainly not present on Tuesday night, in my opinion. Did you?
There was a lot in the coverage of the convention itself about protests and ongoing unhappiness, but at least, as you say, it was well produced. You did not see it on television.
Well, the BBC announced that a contingent of the Trump people, of the Bernie people, walked outside to continue their protest.
Somewhere in the number 50, they went to the media tent following. When he left, they left. Go ahead.
And it also wasn't thousands, tens of thousands of people marching outside. So, you know.
Let's go to some letters.
Okay. James says, "This morning, watching Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, struggle to explain Trump's deep business connections with Putin-associated Russian oligarch billionaires. One wonders how deep is the connection," and that's as much as that one I'm going
to
read.
We need to see Trump's tax papers.
That's right.
We will talk about that story, because we have it on the docket.
Yeah,
Peter says, "Does anyone care about the victims of Bill and Hillary? I bet their families don't think they're so warm and fuzzy." That's from
victims,
Peter.
The victims we've heard from have been Vince Foster's family and the Benghazi victims' families, and both have said, "We're with her."
Mm-hmm.
Who are they talking about?
And Vince Foster was not a victim of the Clintons.
He committed suicide.
Right.
Tragic.
Right.
Did they contribute to it? Who knows? Right. But you can't. Oh, it's just awful.
Look, more people died at embassy bombings during Bush's reign.
Let's talk about Reagan.
Right. And Reagan. And nobody's bringing that up. I mean, all they can focus on is, yes, four lives were lost in Benghazi, and it was absolutely horrible. But let's look at the real reasons here.
Mm-hmm. Matt says, "I saw BC's speech, Bill Clinton, was flat and tedious, not his best. It reiterated biomaterial present present in all the Clinton books. Senator Boxer had nothing either. Matt from UC.
You know, there was a lot of response like that. Rachel Maddow didn't like the speech.
Yeah.
Steve Schmidt, who is a Republican analyst, who actually I think gives very fair commentary, he didn't like it. So I would like to hear more of that.
But
I liked it.
I liked it, too, and I thought for a guy who had had so often been over the last several months had been said that he wasn't strong in the campaign, he seemed frail, I thought he looked
good
and sounded great, but
somebody wrote a letter and said they thought he had either had a hamburger, he's vegetarian now,
he's vegan
in preparation, or even a steak.
That's funny.
In the video I saw, Trump put his hand on his daughter's hip. Was the video edited, or are you exaggerating? Remember, patted her butt.
Oh, no. He patted it, and it is on the hip, but his fingers are pointed towards her butt.
Look on it. Yeah, if you look at the picture, there's the video that's taken front and center, but then there's also a side shot.
Yeah.
And if you look at the side shot, I'm sorry, it's disturbing, but go ahead. We're just one more.
Okay, all right. Okay, Daisy said, following up on Libby, my niece at Yale watching the speech by Bill last night and convention. Aunt Daisy, I get it now. She was for Bernie. I am so excited for this election and seeing her as president. Alan, I'm going to start calling you Uncle Grumpy.
Somebody already has that title here, but
Ray Graf.
Anyway.
Who's that?
All right, we'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arbeo, and Libby Post make up the group this morning. And it's very nice to have you with us as well. A couple things I want to get to, and then we have a lot of letters, and I want to get to those as well. First of all, one other thing I wanted to bring up about Bill Clinton was there was an article, a somewhat speculative article in the New York Times this morning.
Oh, yes.
A worry if Hillary Clinton wins, what to do with Bill.
He gets into trouble when he's idle.
and it seems, while amusing, seems also to be a very real concern.
Well, I'm always interested, as you are, Rosemary, in why newspapers choose to run certain stories.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just trouble. That's all it is. He'll be creating up there, news. And, you know, if he's up there, if they leave him up in Chappaqua, obviously, there'll be opportunities. Let's put it that way. The old Ward Hitler who said, I see my opportunities and I took them. So there'll be that. There's a possibility of some of that. Look, he's a guy on the go.
I think it's a valid question. He can't very much run the foundation when he's married to the president.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to run for Senate? Can he do that?
Stop.
What role?
I mean, I think he needs.
Stop.
Can she appoint him?
I think special projects. You know,
special projects.
Like what Bush did with Clinton and his dad, getting them to do the philanthropy stuff.
Yeah,
special projects dealing with poverty in the world. That
he
sort
has
of stuff.
Extremely
well,
high
surrogate.
Ratings in countries
around
the world. Uh-huh. He could be a.
I liked better, but you know, Bobby Kennedy was the Attorney General.
Right.
Yeah, in a different time.
I try to vet things before I say them on the air. But I heard something last night that I don't know.
Why do you do that?
Necessarily try. But the one thing I heard last night was, I think it's strictly a formality. But as a former president, you still get a level of briefing and security briefing.
Right.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
So obviously he will be the first. If elected, would be the first spouse of the president to have information as well. I mean, it definitely puts him in a different league than a typical spouse.
Now, that article was pretty clear about where he was not going to be. In other words, what room he was not going to be in during briefings.
Situation room. Things like that.
So I think he's going to have to make up his own mind. If you get the information, then that curtails certain kinds of activities.
He doesn't need to be in the Situation Room. He totally has her ear. They're connected by cell phone,
Okay.
By email. They're connected by email.
But between now and November, and to Alan's point that this article may have been written to make trouble, does the argument that has often been floated around within the Hillary Clinton campaign that in electing her, you get two for one. So does that have an impact between now and then?
Well, the real question is, how popular is he right now? When he left the presidency, he was the most popular ever.
And what does that mean? Because when she left the Secretary of State job, she was the most popular. She had a 66% approval rating. What happened to that?
Right.
The Republicans.
Right.
Yes, Donald
Who's
Trump.
Up? Right. Who wants to say something?
I think that yes, you get a two for one. I think that there's this. I think that there's a certain element out there who think she's the only choice, and from a sexist point of view, are thinking, "Oh, thank God he's there, because then we'll have a man in the room." I mean,
I've never heard that.
No, you don't hear it, but I'm just thinking that's a possibility out there with some voters.
Well, he made it clear that it was a partnership,
right? And that, you know, experience is what counts, and she's going to bring in the best people. I don't think he'll be in the cabinet. I don't think he'll be in the room making any decisions, because she's got to do that on her own. But I think she'll put him to work on special projects that need his ability.
As she points out repeatedly, she hopes to do that, as she does also with Barack Obama.
Right.
We have a store. It's a treasure of ex-presidents, and they should be used. George Bush, he should be used, too.
They are and they aren't.
Certain
There's
things.
A great book called The President's Club, which talks about, you know, former presidents pretty much stay out of the politics of the present president, except, of course, Jimmy Carter didn't, like, play by those rules all the time. But if they're invited in, that's a different ballgame.
Exactly. And why not? I mean, aren't we in a different age where we realize a president, male or female, is probably married to a spouse with gifts of their own? Michelle Obama proved that this week.
Right.
I mean, really all of them. Rosalind Carter was amazing. She's done more to get reform of mental health issues than anyone in this country, maybe.
And elder care, too.
Yeah, and elder care. And so there are gifts there that we should be tapping into without this old idea that no, we only voted for the one and everybody else stays out.
Oh, look at the Roosevelts.
We have a lot
That's
of letters.
That's a long time ago.
Right, but still, they are the
but perfect
example.
But then next
example.
Came Bess Truman after that.
Yeah, right. And she didn't want to do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Here come the letters.
Great speech. The speech. Great speech. Almost convinced. Problem. Obama and the Clintons do fix a lot of things for extra credit, but they fail miserably in the core curriculum that only Bernie has addressed in this election cycle. Heads in the sand. That's from Jim. Beth says, what to do with Bill Clinton? He should become Hillary's Eleanor Roosevelt. Tour the country, understanding people's concerns, and be the eyes and ears for Hillary.
Nice.
And I think it seems that he would like doing that.
Yeah.
Sure.
He could go to the UN, too, like Eleanor.
Okay, yes. Somebody sent me a quote from Trump. Quote, if I were to run... pardon me.
Oh, no, don't read that. That's been debunked. It's
not
true.
Yeah, it has been debunked.
Oh, that's been debunked, then. Let's not do it. Okay, thank you for that, Rosemary.
I thought it was actually a video where he said that.
No.
Okay.
Because I really, really wanted it to be true, but it is not.
No, the timing isn't right. There's a lot of things wrong with it.
Joshua says, I get we're all afraid of Trump, but WAMC is, in my opinion, getting ridiculous with his lack of criticism towards Hillary of late. There is serious need for national conservative guests on the roundtable. Also, Gary Johnson is polling at 13%, never gets a mention, and that's from Joshua.
You just got to mention, and if you want to see criticism of Hillary, you don't have to listen to WAMC. It's everywhere. Just follow Donald Trump on Twitter.
I would like to see, says Bill, I would like to know what happens if Clinton and Trump tie like Bush and Gore did. It goes to the Supreme Court, and it's a 4-4 tie. What happens? It depends where it went before it got to the Supreme Court. In other words, then the lower court ruling, as I understand the way that things go, stands.
Right.
So there you go. Trump and Putin and Manafort. George Will, who recently left the Republican Party because of Trump, has now joined those journalists who believe Trump is allied with Putin because of financial ties with Russian money and the oligarchs. In an interview with Fox News, Brett Bayer, the Panama Papers have revealed Manafort's financial ties with Russian money, and that's from Russell of New Hampton.
Oh, I didn't know there was a tie into the Panama Papers. I must look that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the problems with reading these letters is... One of the problems with reading these letters, you don't always know.
Yeah, that's not bad. Also, the guy who spoke last night and said that Trump at first said his businesses were not affected by 9/11 and then put in for funds meant to build up his small businesses hurt in the attack. That's another thing that I would like to be true, but I don't know that it is. Has there been any vetting of that?
I don't know.
Well, didn't Joe Crowley say that? Wasn't it Joe Crowley, the congressman?
Said what?
No, it was. That, or, was it? No, it was one of the 9/11 survivors. I did not realize.
And
it
was the
cop? So anyway, Jim writes to us and says, "Dear Roundtable, at the Democratic convention last night, was there any mention of the 75-year-old French priest Father Hamel, whose throat was slit by terrorists in his church after he celebrated Mass on Tuesday mornings? It was big news in Europe and among American Catholics," says Jim. And
it was a big news. It was huge news everywhere.
Huge news.
And led many. I don't know that it was addressed on the floor, although there were mentions of terrorist attacks that continue to this day. So.
Now, fitting into my grumpy old man thing, I truly am really scared of any domestic violence, particularly if it's tied to ISIS or ISIL. In America, because that will help Trump.
Period. Absolutely.
I hate it, but it's so. Okay. Person, place, thing. Oh, wait, forget that. Okay. Barbara says, have any of you heard whether or not there will actually be a series of debates between the presidential candidates? They have to be, right? Okay.
Well, I thought they had to reveal their tax forms, and that didn't happen, so we don't know.
They're the commissions, and they work out a schedule, and it's usually two at least between the presidential candidates, one with the vice presidential candidates, but it's up to the two sides.
This is my fault, and I apologize for it, panel, but Marge says, can you possibly tell us what has been debunked so that when we hear it elsewhere, we'll know it isn't so? That's a tough one for us, because if you read something that is not so, somebody will believe it, and if you don't, you know.
I can tell you, it's the thing about Donald Trump having said in the past that if he were to run for president, it would be as a Republican because they're dumb. That is, he never said that. Don't pay attention.
Well, Augusta says if there's a Supreme Court tie, it goes to the House, doesn't it?
No. There's two things that happen. One is that the lower court ruling stands, or they can write it in a way that there's a tie and the whole thing just waits until there's another person and it's not just eight deciding.
Well, I do think there are defined times that it goes to the House of Representatives.
That's a whole different branch of government.
No, it is, but it does. The House of Representatives defines it, which is why it's so important that the lower house, the Congress, the House of Representatives, is in Republican hands. That's something. Yes,
Rosemary. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well,
I'm
there
not
are circumstances in which an election, a tied election, goes to the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
For them to.
Okay.
And why is it important to keep it in Republican hands?
Did you ask a question? Or
yes.
What was the question?
Why is it important for it to be in Republican hands if that's the case?
Well, it is in Republican hands.
Right.
And therefore, the Republicans will have their way with it if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to Republicans.
So let me just pause there. We have many more letters. I want to get to those. There's some good ones, and so we want to get to them. Let's take a break. We'll be back, and we'll finish up. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, celebrating 35 years serving the public, 800-342-3661. Beacon Fine Art Printing, Beacon, offering museum-quality digital archival printing, scanning, retouching, and mounting for artists, photographers, galleries, and art enthusiasts. BeaconFineArtPrinting.com. The Turning Stone Resort, offering accommodations, dining, spa treatments, golf courses, and a variety of live entertainment. TurningStone.com. And Phillips Real Estate, Black Island, Rhode Island, offering year-round sales from island cottages within walking distance of town and beaches to waterfront properties. PhillipsOnBI.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion for this Wednesday morning, the 27th of July. And we go back to letters because we have a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do we ever. I wanted to read Renee's letter to my favorite morning panel. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And it's titled Undemocratic Governor Cuomo. Learned from you this morning that Cuomo was addressing the New York delegation this morning and that he's hoping to have a Thursday slot to address the convention. Why is this Republican governor at this convention at all? He is obfuscating our New York State Senate races, whether by his actions or his lack thereof. He is not a party man. He, like Trump, is out for himself, and that's from Renee. Thank you, Renee, for that. I believe the House of Representatives decides an election where there is no majority of electoral votes. Each state gets one vote. That's right. That's right. That's exactly what happens. So, in other words, if you had a third-party guy who ended up meaning that nobody had a majority, got it? So, in other words, let's say Gary Johnson gets in, he gets a third of the votes, then it goes to the House of Representatives where every delegation, every state gets one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, Peter. And Teresa says, Teresa says, the Commission on Presidential Debates announces format for 2016 general election debates September 26th at Hofstra University.
Yes, but those all have to be approved by the campaigns, right. And they have not been yet.
Yeah, October 4th, October 9th, October 19th. Okay, thank you for that. And thank you, Joe, for your clarification on that. Barbara says, it goes to the House if no candidate gets 270 electoral votes. We got that. I think it was explained, but you were talking on two lines. One, a judicial question regarding something like a recount where the Supreme Court would play a role.
Yeah,
and two,
true.
An electoral college tie where the House of Representatives would rule. Okay.
Why did we get on that? There's like a very low chance that this is going to end up.
I think it was a listener question.
I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, could.
Let's talk about Russians.
Yeah, let's talk about Russia. You want to talk about Russia? Or do you want to read more letters?
Let's talk about Russia. So
do we believe that Putin is actively involved in trying to get Trump elected?
Yes.
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 And this is intriguing to me. Do you remember Watergate? Big scandal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Scandal? And what were we concerned with? We were concerned with the violation, with the fact that there was an invasion into Democratic national headquarters. No one asked at that time, what did the messages say? What did they find out? Right? There weren't email at the time, but what did they uncover? This time, all that we seem to be concerned with up to this point, I think it's changing, has been, oh, those emails were horrible, fire Debbie, you know, lynch Hillary, whatever. And that's what's important, but it isn't. I think here, again, we should be looking at how the heck this happened.
So,
and it's two lines. One is that Putin hates Hillary Clinton. Josh Meyer, a wonderful writer on terrorism in this country and internationally, has said that he hates her. He holds her responsible for dissing him, for ruining the Olympics, and he has gone after her deliberately. There also may be business ties with Trump. And the other thing is Julian Assange, head of WikiLeaks. I did not know this. I researched it after we talked yesterday.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Also hates Hillary, blames her for, and it's true.
And he's out. By the way, there's
he's
some
crazy.
Speculation with others, but with Assange, he says it.
Yeah,
he waited to let this stuff out to damage her.
So how do you tie it to Trump then? I guess is my even if both are true. They seem to be acting. Are they acting?
I don't tie it to Trump. I don't have to tie it to Trump unless.
No, I'm just asking the question.
Forms.
I mean,
it's
can it
Putin.
Be or will it be?
It might be if the tax return. I think there's great pressure on him now, and it needs to be increased to let his tax form score. His son in the past has boasted about money coming in from Russia. Where's it coming from? And where's it showing in the tax forms?
And if it's from the oligarchs, we know who is controlling the oligarchs.
Absolutely.
That's right.
One other thing, and that is you will all remember Watergate. And remember that despite the fact that we knew about Watergate, Richard Nixon was reelected president. I have a feeling on this one that we're going to be hearing more and more and more about the Russian connection, whether Trump wins or not. And that could lead to other things.
The Kremlin has denied a connection, but I would point out that they also have denied doping their athletes.
Yeah.
They have denied having anything to do with Ukraine. This is what he does. It's Putin's hands are so all over this. And that ought to concern us. It's one thing if Donald Trump is tied into it. Yes, we need to know that. But there's enough right here now that should be very worrisome.
You know, I'm worried about Assange because, you know, you and I, Rosemary, in the past have said, you know, there's something to be said about Assange.
And he's crazy, though.
Well, he
really
may be.
Is.
Nevertheless, this is different.
I
want the American people to know what I know.
Yep.
As opposed to, I want to kill Hillary Clinton in this election.
Yep.
And that makes him much more suspect,
They're pointing out, too, that WikiLeaks just did a data dump mm-hmm. on all these names of people, women, who are connected to the party in Turkey where there was just a coup, remember?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So all this information with personally identifying marks is out. Why did he do that? What's the reason of that? He puts them all at risk.
And why is he holed up in an embassy?
Because he could be sent back to answer rape charges.
That's right.
Do we have another misogynist?
Yes, I think we do.
So
he could end up being deported here.
So the other, pardon the pun, elephant in the room here is the fact that there could be a lot more, which everyone seems to be bracing for, right? That there's
right.
a lot more emails and a lot more data that could be dumped on this and what that would mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One other thing I want to get to, this was a breaking news story that came in just a few moments ago, that a federal judge in Washington has granted a request for John Hinckley to leave the mental hospital where he's been for decades to live full time with his elderly mother in Williamsburg, Virginia. So the man responsible for the assassination attempt on President Reagan and also gravely wounding Jim Brady, the press secretary who has since passed on, and one other Secret Service agent,
mm-hmm.
Will be released and will be living full-time with his mother in Virginia.
I'm going to say something that is going to offend some. Listen, I get it. Death penalty is bad. We make mistakes, the rest of it. But if the alternative is, you know, putting somebody in prison for the rest of their life because you don't want to kill them, it seems to me, then you don't say, oh, just kidding, later on. You kill somebody, you go to prison for the rest of your life. And by the way, you may say, well, who did he kill?
Not what he was sentenced to. Sirhan was, and he really is going to live out his life in prison.
And John Lennon's killer and all of mm-hmm. the rest. So I happen to believe in that. And by the way, Brady, of course, died, many
right.
people think, as a result of this.
Yeah.
That was the official ruling.
Yeah.
Yes,
he died as a result of homicide.
Too bad. I'm against it.
The ruling against him, though, was mental illness.
Yes.
And we have a terrible record in this country of dealing with mental illness. I think it's a hopeful sign that he is let free.
He was, you know, within the facility St. Elizabeth's in Washington, He was pretty much allowed to roam fairly
right.
free. And one day,
right.
my wife was doing some work on that campus, and I was walking around, and there was a gentleman sitting there feeding pigeons. And And it was John Hinckley.
Wow.
And he would walk around and he had like cats that he would feed and things like that. But a fairly regular presence within that facility and structure, and certainly not under the same
rigor.
Yes, that many of the other patients were for whatever the reasons. And the question I also have is if the mother then passes away, then does
right.
he go back or
no,
does
he
then
doesn't
say,
go back. Right. No, he doesn't go back.
You know, what happens when he gets out and he does something bizarre? And someone
wait
is
wait a minute,
hurt.
Now, if that happened?
If that
there's
happens,
no,
yeah, well, no, what, but
it's
if
been for
happens.
Years that they've been letting him out on supervised visits and watching, and nothing has happened. If he does, then we have Willie Horton, and yeah. Democrats will be blamed. It's Hillary's fault, probably, or at least Mrs. Carter's.
Yeah.
Well, I've said my thing.
All right. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in and to the many folks that we didn't get to and that we offended. We apologize.
No, we don't.
Not me.
Not all of us.
All right,
come on,
we
Joe.
Don't care. I apologize. The rest of them, screw you. We'll be
push that button.
Back more after this.